यस्य सर्वे समारम्भा कामसंकल्पवर्जितः ज्ञानाग्निदग्धकर्मणम् तमहो पंडितं बुद्धः.
Offered by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One is understood to be in full knowledge whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge. Purport. Only a person in full knowledge can understand the activities of a person in Krishna consciousness. Because the person in Krishna consciousness is devoid of all kinds of sense gratificatory propensities, it is to be understood that he has burned up the reactions of his work by perfect knowledge of his constitutional position as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is actually learned who has attained to such perfection of knowledge. Development of this knowledge of eternal servitorship of the Lord is compared to fire. Such a fire, once kindled, can burn up all kinds of reactions to work. We'll read text number 20 also.
Tyaktva karma phala sangam nitya tripto nirasrayaha karmanya bipravattopi naiva kinchet karoti saha.
Translation. Abandoning all attachment to the results of his activities, ever satisfied and independent, he performs no fruitive action, although engaged in all kinds of undertakings. Purport. This freedom from the bondage of actions is possible only in Krishna consciousness when one is doing everything for Krishna. A Krishna conscious person acts out of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he has no attraction for the results of the action. He is not even attached to his personal maintenance, for everything is left to Krishna. Nor is he anxious to secure things, nor to protect things already in his possession. He does his duty to the best of his ability and leaves everything to Krishna. Such an unattached person is always free from the resultant reactions of good and bad. It is as though he is not doing anything. This is the sign of akarma, or actions without fruitive reactions. Any other action, therefore, devoid of Krishna consciousness is binding upon the worker, and that is the real aspect of vikarma, as explained herein before.
Yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjita jnanagni dagda karmanam tamaho panditam buddhaha.
One is understood to be full knowledge whose every endeavor is devoid of the desire for sense gratification. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge.
So we are continuing to discuss about on the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, appropriately entitled Transcendental Knowledge. Because this is knowledge which is the basis of our spiritual life. This is the knowledge by which we understand what sort of action we should do, what sort of action we should not do, and what sort of action, if we do, will elevate our consciousness on the spiritual platform. So here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear that a person in Krishna consciousness, whatever activities he does, it doesn't affect him. Because the activities that he does is devoid of sense gratification. We see today in this material world that everybody is chasing after sense gratification. The goal of life is somehow or the other to create facilities whereby we can increase the quality of our sense gratification. And this is going on everywhere. In fact, right from our childhood, This is the training that is given to us, that somehow or the other you have to earn sufficient money whereby you can facilitate as much sense gratification as possible. And today in Kali Yuga, and this is given very elaborately in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, a person is judged by his ability to facilitate sense gratification. A person is considered to be highly advanced in material life if he is having great facilities to promote for himself and for his family members and for his extended family members sense gratification. So that is the yardstick by which a person is measured. And we are seeing that is happening today in reality. And although we are just 5,000 years in Kali Yuga, 4,27,000 years of Kali Yuga more yet to go, already we are seeing the symptoms that a person is respected, adored, glorified, and everything about him is judged based upon his ability to enjoy sense gratification. And his ability to enjoy sense gratification is dependent on his ability to earn money. In Kali Yuga, money is sweeter than honey. Why is money sweeter than honey? Because honey only enhances one taste. That is a taste of the sense of taste that we have. Whereas money facilitates all the five senses. The sense of sight, the sense of hearing, the sense of smelling, the sense of touching. Each and every one of the senses is enhanced by our ability to earn money. The more money we have, we can facilitate each and every one of the senses. But what people do not understand, in this mad attempt to facilitate sense gratification, people do not understand that there is a limit to what they can achieve in terms of sense gratification. We see, particularly in a city like Bombay, people are struggling so hard to earn money, traveling long distances, spending hours away from their family members, just so that they can earn a little bit of extra money. But what is reality is that irrespective of the amount of effort they put in to earn money, the amount of money that they are going to earn is decided by their karma. A person who works 12 hours a day earning 5,000 rupees, that is his capacity. That karma determines that is the capacity which he is going to earn. Even if he is going to work for 24 hours, he is not going to earn crores of rupees. But at the same time, there is also another person who works for 12 hours a day and earns crores of rupees a month. Right? So this is prarabdha. It is based upon the law of karma that each person has got a particular capacity to facilitate his sense gratification. This is something that people do not understand. They want to, in spite of seeing, pashyati api na pashyati, they are seeing everything. They are seeing that everybody is struggling so hard, but yet I want to earn somehow or the other and increase my sense gratification. And unfortunately, this whole material world is made in such a way that whatever we may do, we will never be able to completely satisfy our senses. It's impossible. Because that is how Krishna has made this material world. This place is a place of misery. It's dukkalayam ashashvatam. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this is a place which is a place of misery and a place which is temporary. So how can a person who is situated in a place which is temporary and which is miserable ever be able to enjoy his senses to his full capacity? It's impossible. And yet, we have been conditioned right from the time we are born practically to somehow or the other achieve this in our life. Facilitate maximum sense gratification. As the Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the purports, the source of our income is not the source of our maintenance. We think that if we are going to earn money, then we will be able to have increased quality of life. But Srila Prabhupada says very, very emphatically that the source of our earnings is not the source of our maintenance. Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. And in this connection, there's a very beautiful story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the story of a hunter by the name Mrigari. A lot of illustrative lessons to be learned from this particular pastime. Now, Mrigari was a hunter. Now, he was a hunter of animals. So, he was, his prime place of work would be the forest. But he was not an ordinary hunter. He was a hunter with very special qualification. He had the ability to shoot an arrow at an animal by which the animal would not die. The animal would only be half killed. The animal cannot move. He would shoot the arrow in such a place in that animal's body that the animal cannot move. It will just lie where it is, but it will suffer intensely. And he would be very, very happy. He would derive great pleasure when he sees an animal that is suffering. So people have this demoniac propensity. When they see others suffering, they are very happy. They have this propensity which gives them great pleasure when they see others suffering. And they want to create opportunities, or they want to create situations where others are suffering. So this is a demoniac propensity. A devotee of the Lord is para dukkha dukhi. When he sees others suffering, his heart is very, very much affected. And he becomes very compassionate when he sees others suffering. He wants to reach out to them. And in this movement of ours where we are connected to, the best way to reach out to a person is to give him the holy name, to teach him how to be connected to Krishna. How to somehow or the other be able to get out from the cycle of birth and death. Because this world is temporary. And the true reason for us obtaining this human form of life is not to enjoy the senses, but to endeavor to get out of the cycle of birth and death. That is the goal of this human form of life, which is the only opportunity available to us. And this 8,400,000 species of human species of life, 400,000 species are human beings. And of course, the 400,000 species are not distinguished based upon their color or the features, but they are based upon the consciousness. At the lowest level of this 400,000 species, we see people who are practically animals. No different than animals. What we call as two-legged animals. For them, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are the only goal of life. It's the only goal of life for which the animals are experts at. A dog is much better situated than a human being to defend itself. A vulture or a kite is a bird that is much better situated to see as compared to a human being. We don't have much of ability to see, but the animals are given facilities whereby which are far, far advanced as compared to human beings. And yet there are some human beings who are no different than animals. So this is at the lowest level of the human cycle, this 400,000 species. And gradually we have people with higher levels of consciousness. And finally, at the topmost level, we have a devotee of the Lord who understands that he is not this body. The goal of this human form of life is to get out of the cycle of birth and death and go home back to Godhead. And he is also understanding that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. Only a devotee of the Lord has this knowledge that he is an eternal servant of Krishna. Gopi, Bharator, Paradakamalu, your Das, 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 Anudas. That is his constitutional position. So Mrigari was no better than an animal in his consciousness, because he used to get so much of perverted pleasure in creating distress in animals. So one day Narad Muni, who is our transcendental spaceman, happened to come to the place where Mrigari was hunting. And as he was walking in the forest, he sees in the path there is a rabbit which has got an arrow coming out from its body and it's really struggling, suffering miserably. And then Narad Muni, a compassionate Vaishnava, is thinking to himself, who could be doing this? And he moved further, and then he came across another animal which is having another arrow sticking out of its body, and that animal also trembling in agony. And went a little further and saw another animal and so on. And as he was walking along the path, he saw several animals which were lying half dead, and all of them in intense suffering. Narad Muni, because he was a compassionate Vaishnav, like all devotees of the Lord, when they see this, when particularly animals who are sent to the slaughterhouse, we can't even imagine what sort of torture they must be going through. In the Western world, people never see slaughterhouses. Slaughterhouses are kept far away from civilization. And every day, hundreds and thousands of animals are killed in the slaughterhouses. And what people finally see is processed meat, which is available in the supermarkets. And they don't even relate that this meat is actually the body of an animal. They become so insensitive. They don't even have this realization that this particular thing at one point of time was an animal with consciousness, with life in its body. And somehow, because of this cruelty, because of this intense cruelty of man, this animal had to die an unnatural death. And if anybody actually goes to the slaughterhouse, for sure, such a person would never ever eat meat. It really is. It's said that a person sometimes has to be actually experiencing something in order to learn. Others don't have to experience it. They are just told something. You know, like we sit for the Bhagavatam class or the Bhagavad Gita class, and we are told from the scriptures that animals have soul, and animals also are living entities like us. And when they are put into difficulty, they also suffer the same way like us. So we are told this, and then we understand, yes, and we accept it. But some people, even if you tell them, they're not able to understand. They have to experience something. So I remember I had met a person who was with me in my earlier company that I was working, who had actually visited a slaughterhouse because he wanted to see for himself what actually happens in the slaughterhouse. And of course, it's too gruesome to discuss over here in this temple premises. But the animals who are being led to the slaughterhouse, no animal actually voluntarily goes to the knife, right? Would you ever expect an animal? Would we ever go, if there is a knife waiting for us to cut our neck, would we ever go to that place willingly? No, animals also have that consciousness whereby they realize that they are going to die, particularly when they are led into the slaughterhouse where there is blood all over, there is shrieks of animals, and there is the smell of death, rotting bodies. So when the animal goes into the slaughterhouse, it knows that it is going to die. And in the scriptures it is said that when a person dies, it is like being bitten by 40,000 scorpions. That intensity of the experience that he feels is like being bitten by 40,000 scorpions. This is what a human being experiences at the time of death. Because the body and the soul are so intimately connected, the soul does not want to leave the body. It has been given a residence, the soul has been given a residence as body for a certain number of years, and it becomes attached to this body. And when the soul wants to come out, or it has to come out, due to the passage of time, at the time when the time comes for the person to die, the soul is literally removed out from the body.
by force. And that person experiences such a tremendous pain. It's like being bitten by 40,000 scorpions. I don't know how many of you would have experienced the bite of a scorpion. We don't see scorpions here in Bombay. If you go to a farm in Wada, I don't know whether we have scorpions over there, but earlier farm that we had in Downed, we used to have scorpions over there. And one of our devotees once was lying outside. And it was too hot to be sleeping inside, so he was lying outside and he was bitten by a scorpion. And he was telling us that for 36 hours, he was in such agony. He couldn't sit down, he couldn't stand, he couldn't lie down, he couldn't eat, he couldn't... You know, it was such an intense agony for him for 36 hours. So you can imagine when you are bitten by 40,000 scorpions, what happens to you at the same time. So that is the intensity of the pain that is caused at the time when the soul leaves the body. So these animals also experience the same thing. And scientists have chemically proved that these animals, they release so much of toxins into their system because they know that they are going to die. There's so much of fear that is there in their consciousness that they release a huge amount of negative toxins into their system, which actually contaminates the whole meat. So this particular friend of mine, he was saying that when he went to the slaughterhouse and he saw these animals being led to the slaughterhouse and die, he made a resolution that I will never ever eat meat in my life again. And yet when we preach to a particular person, that person doesn't appreciate, because what he buys is from a supermarket or from a shop where he actually doesn't see the animal being killed. So there is that insensitivity into that person, which doesn't make him realize the amount of pain that the animal has gone through. So Mrigari had over the years become so insensitive to this pain that the animals were going through. So Narad Muni, as he was walking, finally comes across to the place where actually Mrigari was standing. And Mrigari was a very fearsome person. Black in complexion, red eyes, with a big mustache, very horrible looking person. But Mrigari could understand as soon as he saw Narad Muni that here is a saint. A saintly person has come to him. So Narad Muni approaches Mrigari and asks him, "What are you doing? Why are you doing like this? Why are you half killing animals? Kill them. But don't kill them like this, where they are suffering so miserably." So then Mrigari told him that this gives me great pleasure. Why I do it is because it gives me great pleasure. My father used to do it, my grandfather used to do it, my great grandfather used to do it, and now I have perfected the art by which I can shoot an arrow exactly at that particular place by which the animal suffers the most. So then Narad Muni, being the compassionate Vaishnav that he is, preaches to him and tells him, "Do you realize the consequences of your action? Every animal that you inflict pain is at one point of time going to be inflicting the same pain on you. This is the law of karma. For every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. So you have killed thousands and thousands of animals, and each and every one of these animals, after you die, is going to be inflicting the same amount of pain on you in your next birth, in your next life, or in your subtle body." And this we understand from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when a soul leaves his body, if he has lived a very sinful life, then that living entity has to be taken to the hellish planets. And there are thousands of hellish planets. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes 29 very special hellish planets. Each one of them worse than the other. And a living entity has to suffer in that hellish planet
for that many years, sometimes millions of years, he has to suffer over there. The scriptures say that if anybody is connected with the killing of a cow is so dear to Krishna. Can you imagine anybody killing a cow? It's so gentle. It wouldn't even harm anybody. It's a mother, gives us milk, nourishes us. So what can be the punishment for a person who kills a cow? The scriptures describe. He has to suffer in hell. And every person who is connected is not just the person who actually kills the animal. It's the person who transports the animal, who kills the animal, who cooks the flesh of the animal. In that particular chain, whoever is involved has to suffer in hell for as many years as there are hairs on the body of a cow. And that is a long time. And what actually suffers in the hellish planet is our subtle body. This human body that we have, this material body made of flesh, bones, blood, mucus, this has got a very limited capacity for pain. If we come across pain of very great intensity, we go into a coma. Right? The body shuts itself out. The brain shuts itself. We lose consciousness. We become unconscious. Right? So this is the reflex action that is given to us in this body. But in the subtle body, there is no unconsciousness. In the subtle body, sometimes your body is torn to pieces. Sometimes right in front of your eyes, it is being eaten by birds. It is eaten by lions and tigers. And you are seeing. You are seeing your leg and your hand and your body being eaten. And you're experiencing that pain, that intense amount of pain, but you don't die. So it's a very special sort of punishment. In the olden days, if a person was really, really sinful, then his body would be subjected to a great deal of torture to make him really feel a tremendous amount of pain. Right? But a human body has got a capacity to tolerate, beyond a particular capacity, it can't tolerate. So he just becomes unconscious and he can't feel any more pain after that. But in the subtle body, like there's a particular hell which is made of copper, and the circumference of that hell is 1,000,000 miles. So it's spread over 1,000,000 miles. And you have the hot sun which is beating on this particular surface of this copper, which is heating up this copper like anything. And below this copper, you have fire. And this living entity is going through in this particular place. There is no water. There is no air. There is no living. There are other living entities also suffering the same way. You can imagine the misery of this person. And he has to spend hundreds and thousands of years in this particular hell. No escape. He can't switch on the air conditioner. Sometimes when we feel very, very hot, we yearn to go into an air-conditioned room and stay in an air-conditioned room, right? Particularly in this month of summer. But when you are in this particular hell, there is no air conditioner there. And this, you are suffering day, night, months, years, hundreds and thousands of years. So this is the punishment that awaits a living entity who actually inflicts so much of suffering on other living entities. And we become so insensitive, thinking that actually this meat is processed somewhere in the supermarket and it's got no connection with any living entity. Right? Just to fulfill our tongue, it can never be satisfied. So Narad Muni preaches to Mrigari. And Mrigari is, you know, because he sees that there's a saintly person in front of him, he listens very, very attentively. And then he tells Narad Muni that, yes, I understand that I have committed great number of sins. Please tell me what I should do now. So Narad Muni tells him, that first and foremost what you have to do is to break your bow, right? The bow which actually creates so much of cruelty to animals, first and foremost you break it. So Mrigari was taken aback. Break my bow, but how will I live? How will I maintain myself? How will I maintain my family? So that is where Srila Prabhupada says that the source of our income is not the source of our maintenance. So Narad Muni tells him, don't worry, I will maintain you. You think that you are earning money and you are maintaining yourself? You are an illusion. We are maintained by Lord Krishna. We are maintained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Each and every one of us over here. What to talk about a human being? Even an ant is being maintained by the Lord. Elephant is being maintained by the Lord. Have you ever seen an elephant go hungry? The elephant goes to the forest and eats as much as it wants. An ant eats as much as it wants. It's only a human being, because of our greed, because of our desire to accumulate, because of our selfishness, we don't want to share it with others, that we want to take more and more and more and more, and then there are some human beings who have got so much more than what they need, and there are others who don't have adequate. Right? It's only in the human beings that this happens. In the animal kingdom, everybody gets what they want. Right? And what they need. Because their want and their needs are the same. In the human kingdom, our wants and needs are different. Our needs are something, but our wants are much higher. Right? And we always try to satisfy our wants, not our needs. Right? And it can never be satisfied. We can satisfy our needs because Krishna has made arrangements for satisfying our needs. But there is no opportunity or there is no chance of us ever satisfying our wants. It's impossible. Because the wants of a human being are unlimited. Right? There's so much of greed within us to acquire more and more and more and more. And we are taking all the natural resources to ourselves and want to keep it for ourselves. Making arrangements for tomorrow. Right? A tiger, it kills another animal and just eats what it wants and then just leaves it. It doesn't take it to a storeroom and keep it in a fridge, carrying it forward to the next day. Right? We do it, right? We carry it forward not just the next day. Sometimes we carry it forward for weeks. In our refrigerator, sometimes we have things of day before yesterday, day before the day before yesterday. We don't want to throw it out. This mentality of ours just to accumulate and keep things extends into everything. We want to keep more money. We want to have in the bank so much money that we are not just comfortable in this lifetime, but our sons are comfortable, our grandsons are comfortable, our great grandsons are comfortable, and so on. We want to make sufficient money for the next 10 generations. But the nature of this material world is such that whatever we may do, we are finally going to be unhappy. We may create so much of facilities for our children, but our children finally will make us so miserable that we wish we would never had children. Right? When we have a son, we think, oh, our son, so wonderful. We love him so much. We shower so much of affection on him. But then what happens? He rebels against us. He doesn't listen to what we are telling him. And he causes us so much of heartbreak. And then we wish, oh Krishna, I wish I never had a son. And particularly nowadays in Kali Yuga, we see our children who are getting into so much sense gratification that they cause us so much misery. So the nature of this material world is that we would under no circumstance be happy. Somehow or the other, Krishna will create situations whereby we will become miserable. So Mrigari understood the philosophy that Narad Muni was telling him. And then when Narad Muni told him, give up this, break this bow, right in front of Narad Muni, he broke his bow. And then Narad Muni now told him that whatever you have earned from your cruel activities, go and distribute it to the poor and the needy. And come back over here just wearing one piece of cloth and then I will tell you what to do. Now Mrigari had faith. The process of Krishna consciousness begins by faith. The scriptures tell us, Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivriti. The whole process of Krishna consciousness begins by a little amount of faith. Because we have faith that we are not this body, we are the spirit soul, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are its eternal servants. Because we have that little bit of faith, the next step is to associate with devotees. Come for satsang programs and associate with devotees who are senior to us. Inquire from them submissively. Tadvidhi pradipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Inquire. And then gradually all these anarthas in our heart of lust, greed, anger, pride, illusion will gradually dissipate. And we will be situated in the platform the way Lord Krishna explains over here in the Bhagavad Gita in this particular verse. That a person who is properly situated in Krishna consciousness is completely devoid of any desire for sense gratification. He doesn't desire anymore. He doesn't have any more desires for sense gratification. Right? And all of us hanker to be in such a situation as Lord Krishna describes over here. Mrigari became a person with that consciousness. And then Narad Muni gave him an instruction. You sit over here and then you chant the names of the Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He gave him this mantra and told him, you sit over here and chant this mantra continuously. So Mrigari did exactly that. And the entire village came to know that Mrigari, who was such a cruel person, has now become a saint. So Mrigari was thinking that I am actually providing for myself. Where will I get maintenance? All the villagers would start bringing their offerings every day and bringing it to Mrigari. To such an extent that Mrigari had much, much more than what he needed. Because Mrigari had become a devotee of the Lord, he had no interest in hoarding. He never thought that I shall keep this for myself. Started distributing it. Started giving it away. He would just keep the bare minimum for himself. And give out everything. This is the quality of a devotee. The devotee does not want to hoard things for his own personal sense gratification. He wants to use everything in Krishna's service. And the more you use things in Krishna's service, the more happiness you feel. In material consciousness, the more you acquire, you feel that you are becoming very happy. But you're not happy. You actually become miserable. But when you are a devotee, the more you have, the more you want to give it to others. And Krishna gives you so much that you keep giving, you keep giving, you keep giving, and Krishna gives you more and more and more, and you keep giving out, 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 out. That's Krishna's way of reciprocation. When he sees that you're actually giving, then Krishna gives you more to give out. For a non-devotee, he wants to take more. He wants to take more. Thinking that is going to make me happy. So Mrigari would give out whatever excess that he received. And then one day, Narad Muni, several months later, Narad Muni was coming along with Parvat Muni, another acharya, in the same forest. And then Narad Muni was telling Parvat Muni that, you know, I have a disciple over here. I just want you to meet him. And from a distance, Mrigari saw his spiritual master coming. And then he was so happy that he started running to meet his spiritual master. And as he was running, he suddenly saw that on the way there were some ants. And by now Mrigari had become a devotee. And for him to even step on an ant was unthinkable. So he removed his cloth and very, very gently he removed those ants away from the path. And then he paid his prostrated obeisances to his spiritual master. Narad Muni, looking at Mrigari, was very, very happy. Said, and he told Parvat Muni, see, this person, at one time, he would get great pleasure in half killing animals. And today he has become a Vaishnava and has become such a devotee that for him to even step on an ant is a great aparadha. So then Narad Muni asked him, are you okay? Is everything fine? And Mrigari said, yes, Lord Krishna is taking care of everything. He's giving me as much as I need. Not as much as I want, but as much as I need. So this is exactly what Srila Prabhupada is telling us in this particular purport. That a devotee just keeps what he needs.
He simplifies his life to such an extent that his needs also become minimal. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness, the philosophy is that we simplify our needs. And when our needs become simple, what do we need? We need some clothes to wear. We need two or three times meals a day. Right? And we need a roof over our house. That's all that we require. In the ultimate analysis, in order to really live, this is all that we need. Basic needs. It's only when we want to make others envious of us that we want to try and create facilities by which we can create envy in others. We want to show off to others. We want to be better than our neighbor. Right? If he has got one car, we have to have two cars. If he's got one house, we have to have two houses. And we try our level best to fulfill these desires, which are unlimited. By foaming in the mouth, by working day and night, we try to fulfill these insatiable desires. But if we have simple needs, then what do we have to work hard for? Krishna is providing for everybody. Krishna is maintaining every living entity. So Krishna will maintain us also. He will give us roti, kapda or makan. Right? So the goal of life is not to create facilities whereby we can better our sense gratification. That's what Srila Prabhupada is telling us here in the purport. Don't waste our time in trying to create facilities to enhance our sense gratification. Reduce our needs to such an extent that we can spend more and more time in Krishna consciousness. Serving devotees, associating with devotees, chanting the holy names of the Lord, reading the scriptures. This is what our time is to be used for. Coming to the temple, taking darshan of their lordships, Sisi Radha Gopinath. Be satisfied and be happy and peaceful with what you have. And you will see that your life really becomes sublime and blissful. And you are so happy. You are no longer chasing this mirage, this phantasmagoria of trying to satisfy your senses. It's impossible. Nobody has ever achieved it. Nobody is achieving it today, and nobody will ever achieve complete satisfaction of their senses. It's just not possible. That's what Lord Krishna is telling us in the Bhagavad Gita in practically each and every shloka. That don't try to satisfy your senses. Your senses will never be satisfied. So once we understand that, then we can focus on the true goal of this human form of life, which is to go home back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So there's no time for questions. Unfortunately, it's already